I'm wrestling, do not weep for me. Celebrate what I am. Celebrate what I have been. Celebrate what I represent. And celebrate the many ways I have impacted your life. I will survive this test as I have survived others. I am forever etched into the very fiber of all mankind. The world needs me. Time is on my side. History guarantees me. I am wrestling. Do not wait for me.
What's up, everybody? You are listening to episode number 79 of the T-Rone Funky Show, brought to you as always by Defend Soap, Defend What You Have Built, and Dahlemer Mats. And Tommy, you know, we did Fargo Part 1. We're going to do a Fargo Part 2, but I got to start this off with something else because this is one of my favorite topics of all time. And as you know...
Let me guess.
Go ahead. Let's see what you got.
Oh, no. I'm literally trying to guess your favorite topics of
all
time.
What is it?
Something about the psychology of wrestling.
No. Close. Well, we'll say my favorite thing to complain about. Is that fair?
Yeah.
So my second favorite thing to complain about is Iowa wrestling, but my very, very favorite thing to complain about is the UWW. And this new one. So I'm not caught up on my FRL, Full Radio Live, but I need to listen to them more often because they do give us ideas on a few things to talk about on this show, we've been talking about Fargo, but there are a whole bunch of other things going on. But this last one was just inconceivable to the point where we have to talk about it, Tommy.
You got it. I'm ready.
So, obviously, you heard that UWW is going to cede the world championships, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
So they your recommendation, of course.
Based on my recommendation, they did steal that idea from me. So, you know, they might listen to our show. It's one of the 3,000 viewers that we get every week. we need to get 3 million viewers, not 3,000. But, you know, if UWW is 1 of 3,000.
We only average 3,000 listeners. I think I've met them all. Because I get a lot of people come up to me and say, good podcast.
Well, I guess it's not necessarily always the same 3,000, right?
Sure.
10 shows, that's 30, so it could be. And we did do a couple of shows that we got, you know, I think those ones where we did the top whatevers, I think those got like 30,000 listens or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, so, okay, so they were doing seating, right? And... that the seeding criteria is they do points. So you get points for the previous world championships or the Continentals or whatever it is, right? And so there's this list of 50 guys that have points at every weight class, right? Number 1 through number 50, or whoever scored points. Because you get points for placing at Continentals. So there's a lot of people on this list, right?
Right.
Well, I did not know this. I have not seen a press release about this. But if FRL says it, generally they're well-researched, so it's true. So the UWW says... well, if number 1 through 4, if any of them have, you know, changed weight classes or are not wrestling because of injury or got knocked off the team, right, or whatever it is, they're not replacing that seed. They're just leaving it blank. See, you're trying to comprehend right now what's going on because it's so stupid that you can't even figure it out. So say there's a 1, 2, 3, and a 4. If the 2... if the 2 beats the 4 and the 4 doesn't make the team, right? And then the 3 moves up a weight class. They're not putting a 3 and 4 seed in there. They're just leaving them blank.
It doesn't make any sense.
Because it's all you do is you just go to the next person on the list. You just go to 5 or 6 or 7 or wherever the hell you need to go.
The only logical way – the only logical reason I think they're doing this, and it's not a good one, is because they really do want the oddball countries to get medals. They really do.
That makes sense. So why would you? But why would you even make seeding criteria if you didn't want to have seeds?
Well, because I think they got pressured. I think they got pressured. But
so
what
you're
really...
saying this? I mean, this is actually something that makes sense because FRL wasn't coming up with anything that made sense, and nothing immediately came to my mind of something that made sense.
They felt pressure to modernize the sport. They felt pressure to legitimize the sport as much as possible. Seeding the freaking thing is obviously a very logical choice. It gets done in every other sport.
Yep.
But if you do that, you're likely to have a lot of Eastern European medals. Some American
you're
medals.
Likely to get the right people to medal.
Correct, but you're gonna get a consolidated list of countries that medal at the Olympic Games, which doesn't promote diversity, doesn't promote a lot of the political agenda the Olympic movement has. And so they did that, I think, out of pressure, but they're trying, you know, this is just kind of a floozy excuse to like, oh, well, if they don't make it, we'll just not seed it, because now they can kind of, you know, smooth in some, you know, weasel in some oddball countries to maybe get a medal.
Because I think, but you know, it's so ridiculous, because like a bunch of these guys, obviously the biggest point getter, right, is the previous year's world championships, since there's a lot of guys from the Olympics, because, well, a few of them weren't even contested the Olympics. They've been moving around weight classes, you know?
Right.
And so they're out. They don't even get seated. Like Yazdani Chirati, he don't get seated because all of his points are at the next weight class down.
Yeah, I struggle with what's hard about the federations having a seed meeting and just doing it the American way. But anyways,
I also don't see why you can't get five people who are very knowledgeable about wrestling who are also not corrupt. I mean, that one might be a challenge for the WWE.
Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater, Ben. They did establish a seed at the World Championships for the first time ever. So it is a step.
Okay, but why can't they just go down the list one notch?
I agree. I don't think. Yeah, what are they doing here, and why?
I have no idea. And so one of the points that the Wrestling Nomad made was if Rahimi is injured, there's zero seeds at that weight class. What the hell? Like, you got a list of 40 people, just freaking pick a few that got points.
Some of this stuff is just too easy, you know?
It's too easy. And that's why, you know, whenever people say we should go to freestyle only, this is the first place my head goes. Like, we're really going to put these people who can't even figure out how to go from number four to number five in charge of our whole sport?
Right. Hey, is my dog ruining the podcast?
You know what? I didn't hear him until you said that. Now I hear him. But everyone loves dogs, so I'm sure he'll be
okay.
Fine.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's just too easy. And what's funny is that when you say you don't want to go to freestyle, it has nothing to do with what's going on the mat, with the exception of the subjectivity and officiating. But it's the changes. It's the governance of freestyle, not freestyle itself, that makes you say that.
Yeah. I mean, yes. Obviously, I would lean towards folk style. I do love the grind of it. I love the control of it. But there's nothing. You know, and at one point in my life, I did like freestyle more than I liked folk style. But you're right. The big point is the governance. Like, these idiots could possibly be in charge of American collegiate wrestling. Like, that is freaking mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's wild.
They can't even figure out how to go from four to five. Like, if four is not there, then you pick number five. It's pretty simple.
No doubt. No doubt. I'm struggling with this. It's to the point. It's too easy. Sometimes things get done or they don't get done, and it's like, man, that's just too easy.
Yeah. All right. I think we should get to the Fargo. But the other one that this story is fascinating to me. It's been going on for weeks, and I've told you I'm not caught up on FRL Live, so I might have missed the rest of the story. But the Nick Soriano not wanting to go back to Penn State thing, like, for a while I just thought it was a rumor, just a bunch of bullcrap. But it's real. Like, this dude might not go back.
It's real.
How do you know it's real?
So I have 50% of the story. I talked to a couple people that are extremely in the know. And we're by the way, Ben, we're late to the party on this. This has been
Yeah, we're late to the party. But that's fine.
At any rate, I talked to people who are extremely in the know. It is real. I asked the reason why, and it was all speculative. So it's real that he wants to leave, but I don't know why. Do you know why?
I mean, no, I don't know why. People in FRL was speculating the weight that Penn State wants to keep him at 25, and he doesn't want to stay there. And then they were also speculating that something to do with the injury, which I can't foresee how that was Penn State's problem.
I heard something to do with the injury, and on paper, when I look at it, it's like, okay, he popped his ankle in the middle of the duel. Kill immediately defaulted.
Yeah.
And didn't put him on the mat competitively until the NCAAs.
I can't see the issue there.
I can't see the issue there.
Maybe there's some. I mean, there's something we're not seeing, obviously. Right. And, you know, it did seem like nothing could ever go wrong in Happy Valley. And so maybe this is I don't. Is this a little chink in the armor, or is this just Nick Sirianni is an idiot? I don't know.
Well, if Sirianni bounces and the Bucks get McKenna,
it could get interesting.
Right. Yeah, right.
It could get very, very interesting.
Wishful thing, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't give a crap if the Buckeyes win or the Penn State Nittany Lions win. I couldn't care there. If the Tigers, we're talking about the Tigers winning, that would be
Tiger style.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. But yeah, McKenna makes it. You know, and that's another one. It's like, dude, we start school at a lot of these places in 3 weeks. Like, you got to show up somewhere. You got to get freaking. You got to rent an apartment. You got to move your shit. Well, you got to go somewhere.
He's out in Romania wrestling, like, on a European competition tour. And it's like, what are you waiting on? Like, were you just sleeping on it for a month? Like, I don't get it. But I hope he sleeps on it some more and goes to Ohio State.
What is he waiting on, though? Like, Tommy, school starts at some places in 3 weeks.
It doesn't make any sense why it's taking this long.
Well, I'm baffled. I don't know what to say.
So here's my thoughts.
But Sirianni's got 3 weeks also then.
I've heard it's Lehigh or Ohio State. Have you heard that?
I mean, they were saying Lehigh, Penn State, or Ohio State. They were making it seem like Penn State was kind of behind the party. But, yeah, obviously Lehigh, you know, Jeff Buxton's there, who was his college coach. High school coach. And, you know, Ohio State obviously has a lot to offer every single person that goes there, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I couldn't have said it better myself.
So, yeah, so that these dudes got to – they got to get their crap together because school starts in 3 weeks or 4 weeks.
I know. They got to get it rocking.
So, okay, so let's go back to we had hit those. The other one – I screw it, Tommy. I'm going to go for the other one too. And if we got to run a little short on Fargo, we got
– Well, we can blast through cadets a little faster than we did juniors anyway.
Well, we got a few juniors to talk about still. But yeah, holy crap. I got this at Fargo, and I just had to run. I was like looking around like, is anyone else seeing this shit right now? And I had to run to the nearest college coach and be like, what? Eric Guerrero to Oklahoma, RTC.
Yeah, jeez, we missed that too.
What the?
My boy Lou is making waves down there.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, that was mind-blowing, right? Can you imagine? I mean, Guerrero's been an Oklahoma State Cowboy for 20 years.
He's been a Cowboy for 20 years. I would say that John is finally at a point where you could see him, you know, 5 or 6 years from now being done.
Yes.
It's like, Eric, if you're going to leave, you should have left like 10 years ago.
Well, I've heard from the rumor mill, and I can't tell you this is true or not, but I've always heard that and this is since his graduation, that Chris Perry is the next head coach. That's
Mark Perry or Chris Perry?
No, Chris Perry is the next head coach at Oklahoma State. That's what I've always heard.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's something there. I don't know if it's a family thing or, you know, I haven't spent a lot of time around Chris, so I don't know if he's just a wrestling genius guru. But I have heard that since he graduated. Because, you know, he's thinking about fighting for a while, and I don't remember who I asked him, well, why wouldn't he? And they said, because he's going to be the next head coach at Oklahoma State.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what John do, bring him in when he graduates? Hey, Chris, come on in here.
Yeah, I think that's what he did. You ain't going to go get punched in your face at all, you dumbass.
I was taking you on, and you didn't take the bait.
Well, I took it eventually. I was trying to withhold myself.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
But that's crazy. Right? That blew my mind. My head exploded when I saw that.
Hey, since we've been totally ADDing, I'll throw another one in there. I called you. It was either last night or the night before. You didn't pick up or text me back, but we'll leave
that.
What?
You lie.
I did. Let me check it. Actually, I'm checking my phone.
I really genuinely don't believe you. I text everyone back, and I like you. I text and call people back if I don't like them. And
I called
you
yesterday at 6:50 p.m. I'm going to take a screenshot.
I was out to dinner with my family took me to dinner for my birthday, so that's what I was out doing now.
You didn't believe me, so I'm just
– I don't.
Evidence. At any rate, there is a very pleasant Twitter debate going on about just the when to put pressure on kids, how to not put pressure on them. Should be focused on athleticism, skill, competing, training, when to do it, how to do
Tommy, did you literally just send me a screenshot?
I did.
Oh, you're such a dork.
And the whole dynamic, coaching, parenting, and a lot of elite athletes, ex-elite athletes chimed in, and I just think we should have an entire podcast on it. You and I have spoken about it on our podcast.
What was the general feeling on the podcast or on the Twitter battle? The
general feeling is that ex-wrestlers who were very successful or current wrestlers who are very successful, you and me being two of them,
sure,
come from the notion that more is not always better. And the whole conversation, that's the premise, is that more is not always better. In fact, less might be better. And I think the reason I called you is that I wanted to just – it's like I'm raising boys now.
Yeah, of course.
And I'd like for them to discover a passion for wrestling. I also want to teach them a lot of things that are found in wrestling, whether it be through wrestling or not. I want them to – you know, learn a lot of the key characteristics that you get from being a competitive wrestler. And I just wanted to talk about it. It's to me, there's no secret sauce. There's not any one way to do it. And I think that anyways, let's have another, I'll talk to you offline because my thoughts aren't completely formed.
But I'm so excited. I love this debate.
Well, it's the debate is this, the debate for me is that you can't filter this down into like some secret recipe.
Correct. You definitely can't.
And I think that a lot of ex-athletes or current athletes, you know, they say things like just play a lot of sports, have fun, and then figure it out. And it's like, you know, if you look back on your career, Ben,
hell no. I canceled other sports in my career because I knew what I wanted to do at a very early age.
Right. So anyways, you could go a number of directions, but I just think that we put out these blanket statements without much research or applicable knowledge other than our own experience. And by the way, most of the people that say freaky talented.
Correct.
Which you know, so there's just
like JJ Watt, for example. Yeah, JJ, yeah. I'd be good at a lot of sports if I was 6'6", 290 also.
Well, you know,
I had a 47-inch vertical.
And again, it was really healthy dialogue. There was nothing about it that I didn't like, but Tirapelli said on Twitter, said something to the tune of, well, I know Gabe Dean, and he like tagged him on the Twitter handle. I know Gabe Dean played a lot of sports and just had fun. And, you know, he ended up being himself. And then they're talking about how for every, you know, let's say Logan Stieber, who went psycho at age 6, there's 1,000 guys that quit. And my contention is this, for every Gabe Dean who played multiple sports and then identified one later in life and became a champion at a high level. For every Gabe Dean, there's also 100 dudes sitting at an office desk right now that are like age 29 that are – they're saying this, I wish I wasn't the jack of all trades and a master of none.
Yes, 100%. I mean the obvious that Gabe Dean is an obvious terrible example is that was a freaking two-time NCAA finalist.
Yeah,
and he was getting high-level coaching from the time he was in diapers, right? Yeah. I mean – that's a terrible example to use.
He had an intellect about how to handle his own son.
Yes.
On a case by case basis.
Correct.
And to me, that's not a good example. And again, it was healthy.
It's a terrible example. Matter of fact.
But I knew what he was getting at. But it's like, you know, there are people out there like when they say you should play multiple sports and this and that, and it's like, yeah, but there's thousands of young men out there. I work with a lot of these guys that I was pretty good in a lot of sports. There's a lot of guys out there saying, I wish I wasn't the jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah. For me, the two biggest points is, I'll give you one final point if you want to wrap it. For me, the two biggest points are, number one, can't be parent driven, right? The parent can't be the one pushing them in there and saying, you have to do this at a young age, right? Now, if the parent wants to say, if you're going to do something, you got to work hard at it, right? Now that's something else. Right. But if the parent's forcing him in there every single day, that's one thing. And then the number two is, you know, there are J.J. Watts and there are Gabe Deans who can be elite at multiple sports, but there's a lot of kids who can't, right? And I think one of the biggest things we want to learn from sport, right, as youth is the ability to accomplish or the ability to succeed or, you know, giving a sense of empowerment to our kids, right? And there's something about even a scrawny little sophomore, right? I got a guy in my head right now. I got a couple guys in my head. Scrawny little sophomore who won 8 out of 40 matches, right? And decides, hey, man, I'm going to work my butt off and this is all I'm going to do. And they wrestle and then they, you know, win 35 matches and go to state their senior year. I mean, yeah, is he the world's best wrestler? No, but from where he went to where he came from, the dedication he put in and the time he put in is a lesson that's going to serve him well for the rest of his life because he got from one place to another.
I agree. The other thing that it's hard to criticize a coach, a parent, or an athlete's approach when you don't know the desired outcome.
Yeah, so, yep, 100%.
So how can you say what they're doing is wrong without knowing what the desired outcome is for the parties involved? Yeah. And so I love what was being discussed. I in fact agree with most of what was being discussed. But I also take everything with a grain of salt, and it's like, you know, this is bit by bit, case by case, kid by kid.
Gotta be kid by kid, yes.
It's extremely situational, and I don't think you can put much of a label on it. Now, there are just, like, I mean, you and I have made plenty of fun of just psycho approaches to the sport.
Correct, yeah.
And to some extent, that needs to be discussed, but, you know, it's case by case, man, in my opinion. And I'm learning that more as a parent, quasi coach than I was as an athlete.
100%. Well, you know? Yeah, because athlete, you're so focused on yourself, right?
And all you know is you. It's like, you know, you don't look at the spectrum of thought processes that people have that are your own children or you coach them or something. You only think about your thought process and you cater to your own thought process.
Yes, exactly, and your own biases. Okay, so let's get into this Fargo stuff. That would be a fun topic to bring up. Because obviously now
I would love to go a lot deeper, get a guest or two. Herbert made a great video of the top five things you should focus on at the youth level. Yeah. Just get some people on here and have some talk.
Sure, and I've been coaching exclusively at that level for 6 years now, so I do have a lot of thought and input on the topic. So okay, so we covered five weights last time on our juniors, and I left it open. Any of the other junior weights: 100, 106, 113, 132. 138, 170, 182, 185, 220 heavyweight. I put down a few matches for us to watch. And then I don't know if you want to mention guys that, you know, you think are great recruits. One of the matches I was particularly interested in was Aaron Brooks versus, it's not Hayden Hindley, because Hayden Hindley's at NC State. It's the other Hindley. What the hell's his name? Holy crap, I'm blanking. Anyways, him versus Aaron Brooks, and Aaron Brooks really took it to him. And it's one of those cases, I think, where Brooks was just a little better at the positions that Hindley was good at, meaning right. he got 3-4 point throws off upper body type situations where Hindley right. probably wins those situations. Fantastic kid. I also watched him go real close match with Travis Whitlake. I think he's uncommitted as of now, and I think he's going to be one of the better kids in that group heading into college.
No doubt. And this is 132, right?
No, I'm sorry. That was 170.
Okay, gotcha.
I skipped a couple because we did watch the 113 and the 132. Yeah, I skipped to 170. So Hidley's ranked number one at 170 and Brooks is number five at 182.
Yeah, I didn't catch that, but I'm following you.
But you do have to watch the one throw. It's beautiful. Where it's an overhook wizard type situation, and a wizard kicks him, and they both go flying. Flo put that clip up quite a bit. It was tremendous.
Not to bounce around, but overhook wizard, that Ragusan kid, that lanky cadet dude.
Yep.
He hangs out there a lot, like almost like Satiev style a little bit.
Yeah, he's awesome there. And I think we got him on the list to watch for cadets. But you know, I just watched another kid. And I mentioned Ryan Sokol at 120. He's really good there, too, in that. You know, it's the over-under, and it's kind of like a tilted over-under. And you know where a lot of people get into is because of the out-of-bounds, right? When they're pushing, they kind of get a little lower with their chest, and they get into that situation a lot. And the Sokol kid was an animal from there. Hey, did you get
– Minnesota dude, right?
Correct, yeah. Really stocky. And him and Carson Manville are from the same place. Did you get a chance to watch Zach Elam, the 220-pounder
from Missouri? No, I did not watch him.
You got to watch him. So I've known this kid since he was five. His dad actually owns the company who made the original Funky T-shirt. So Marcus Hain was the designer of the original Funky shirt. But Brian Elam at Wrestling Central.
What did he do?
Yeah, he produced them. So, you know, Marcus made the design, and then we got Wrestling Central to produce them. So that was 2007.
Did he take the Chin Out of China shirt, too?
So we sold 1,000 funky shirts in 2007 summer. That was a good summer. And then, yep, and then the next summer I put the damn Chin in China, and he produced those as well. Marcus That's made awesome. The art on it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I, you know, you might want to hire Marcus for the Rudis art department because he is quite the designer.
I didn't even know that. I bet Jesse knows that.
Yeah. Yeah, Marcus is good, though. So, yeah, but Zach Elam, he's one of those two where, you know, his dad didn't push him super hard early, but he was just around the sport. His dad is really educated. But now he's a freaking huge kid. You know, he's like 6'4", 220. He's gigantic now, whereas he was always – you know, he kind of struggled because he was taller and lankier and maybe didn't fully grow into his body. But I heard he's also getting a lot of looks in Division I football. So I don't know. I'm hoping – hey, Zach, if you listen to this, don't play football. Go wrestle for the Missouri Tigers right down the road. You're going to love it.
You know, I think there's something to be said for coming into – learning how to wrestle a style as a lanky guy, because the more body you have for people to score on, the harder it is to protect.
Yeah.
So I think it takes longer for taller guys to kind of maximize their skills, their leverage. And when they start out, it's a little sloppy. I think it's easier to get good quick as a short guy.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's obviously easier to hold position. A lot of the wrestling positions are significantly simpler if you're more compact, you know, to your point.
I always tell the tall dudes when I'm a hired clinician, it's like, hey, if you learn how to make yourself small, you're just like the shorter guys, but they don't know how to make themselves big, and you can do that. So if you just got to be like an accordion, you got to know how to be compact and tight.
Be like an accordion, baby.
And then you get big when you need to get big, but it's hard to do.
Just like that. So, he looked really dominant. He beat a kid named Hayden Maley, who's super tough, from Oregon, and kind of hammered him. And he also beat Francis Duggan in the semifinals, too. I thought this Francis Duggan story is interesting, speaking of transfers, because we've already done that. So Francis Duggan's brother transferred to Iowa. Francis Duggan, who's the number 3 ranked 220, went to Long for the ride, right? And he transferred to Iowa City West, who's a senior in high school this year. I'm assuming, hey, if you're transferring to Iowa City West, your brother's going to the Hawkeyes, you probably want to wrestle for the Hawkeyes also. That's fair reasoning, right?
I would say that's fair, yeah.
Well, but the Hawkeyes signed Jacob Warner, junior national champ at 195 pounds, who's going to wrestle 197. And they also signed Anthony Cassiope, junior national champ at 285. So I think that kind of leaves Duggan shit out of luck, if you ask me.
Yeah, no, I would say that. What do you think is going to happen?
I'm thinking maybe he's going to go. They're going to go straight renegade and go to Iowa State.
Well, with Dresser there and everything, it could be interesting.
It could be, right? You know, and then you got Metcalf and you got Derek St. John. You got Zadik. So you do have a whole Hawkeye crew up there. Then maybe he's going to go down there to Iowa City West and talk Mark Ryland into letting them go.
Right.
Yeah. So that could get interesting down there. I thought that was a interesting move. And then the other finals I had the Arizona kid, Adelano Escobar, a kid I never really heard of. But damn, he looked good, didn't he?
Yeah, and you know, when I watched that, and then I watched a few other matches you suggested, it seems like Arizona's kind of turning a corner. They got a good little run, and that's without Roman Bravo Young
Yeah, they always seem to have some really good standout type kids. You know, maybe not necessarily the depth. And I know Henry Cejudo's brother, Angel, is running I can't remember the name of his club, but he's running a club out of Phoenix that maybe the Henry helps out with a little bit. And then obviously you got the Sunnyside team down there out of Tucson that always brought Eric Larkin in. Who else did they bring to the table from Sunnyside? One national champ from Arizona State. He was on the wall from 1980. Eddie Urbano was from Sunnyside. Tom Ortiz was from Sunnyside. So, you know, there's a lot of guys that came out of that program, obviously.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
Yeah, you know who else is?
I liked that Arizona dude. He was really good underneath. He has like that hydraulic Russian
power.
He can explode from a tight position underneath the guy. I thought he had some good finishes. He went hard.
Definitely. Yeah, so, you know, one of the other things that I thought was super interesting, because we kind of mentioned clubs there, right, is that, you know, Colorado is kind of producing quite a bit of talent, and obviously they had the one Sons of Thunder club. But, you know, now what you're seeing is a lot of these OTC guys, they move out there, they love it, right? They don't want to leave Colorado. They're starting clubs. So I know Joey Betterman has a club. I believe Ike Anderson, former Greco coach, has a club. I believe Kevin Bracken has a club.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of these Olympic-level guys that are starting clubs out there. So it's going to be interesting to see how that pans out, because obviously when you have that many high-level guys, because that's essentially what happened in Chicago, right?
Right.
When I was growing up, because, you know, Illinois is the Northern Plains Regional. When I was growing up, Illinois was good, right? But they were definitely not as good as Minnesota. And now Illinois is just so ridiculously good. And it all started with Overtime. Overtime opened up their club, I believe, in 1999. And then, you know, since then, there's been all these high-level wrestlers opening up competing clubs. And what you're getting is just this gigantic influx of talent in the Chicago area where they're producing. I believe they won every single junior and cadet national title this year, didn't they?
And I know Illinois continues to improve.
They're so good. It's so annoying.
I would also, you know, and I'm interested, Ben, because you know this better than I do, but, like, is it also because their state federation is so well organized for this Fargo?
I think that has a little bit to do with it, and that helps that they're pushing it. Right. And obviously it's not too expensive either, right, because they're from Illinois. They can take a bus.
Illinois versus PA dual meet. Best kids in Illinois.
What style?
Let's do freestyle and folk style.
If you go Greco, they're winning for sure.
Okay.
Freestyle, man, it's going to be good. You know, the one thing that Pennsylvania kids, it is expensive for Pennsylvania and New York, New Jersey, so we don't always get all of their best kids at Fargo. But, I mean, if you go up and down the Illinois lineup, cadet or junior age group, dude, they are hard to beat. I mean, they just have and not only their number ones, Tommy, but if you look at, like, I mean, one weight that I'm very familiar with because I had a kid All-American at this weight – is 126 pounds. So the guy I was coaching, he beats this kid, Austin Macias, second round, something really early, right? Macias comes all the way back in All-Americans, right? And then in the Conti semis, he lost to another kid named Jared Van Vliet. So that's two All-Americans for them, right? And then the guy who's ranked number 11 in the nation, Robbie Preason, doesn't even All-American because he loses in the round of 12. So it's like, they have three really, really legit guys just at that one weight class.
Right.
And for them, it seems to me that they're like that at a lot of weight classes.
I mean, Ohio got second in cadet freestyle and second in junior freestyle. And from what I hear, it wasn't close.
Yeah, okay, so I looked it up. So, number one, this is junior freestyle. 82 points for Illinois. The next highest, 37, Ohio.
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
So they had Illinois not for Ohio,
for the rest of the country.
So Illinois has 3 firsts, 2 seconds, 2 thirds, 4 fourths, 2 sixths, and 3 sevenths.
They just get good representation, and they're pumping all those kids out of the clubs.
Yeah.
What do you got now? You still got Overtime. You got Izzy. You got Kerry Bowman.
Poetis. I heard he's still operating now, but he's obviously taking that job. But then you got Washington High School. What's that guy's name? Washington High School, Hoover, there. That's where Jake Warner's from. They have a bunch of really good kids. And then you got OPRF. They have a whole bunch of really good kids.
Yep.
And then you got the Harvey Twisters. They always have a whole bunch of really good kids. Then you got Izzy Style. And so you have all these different freaking and then also, you know, the other thing, I don't know how other states are, but Wisconsin is – the transfer rules are very liberal in Illinois, right? So what happens is a lot of the best kids go to all of the same high schools, right? So now they're competing against each other every single day in the wrestling room as well, which obviously helps the situation.
No doubt.
So yeah, they won 82-37. I'll look up their cadet freestyle score too for you. I don't want to misrepresent, but I'm pretty sure they blew everyone out.
No, I heard that Ohio got second and it wasn't close. So I guess that's
all right. Cadet freestyle. Teams, 84-51. Illinois number one, Ohio number two. So that one is slightly closer,
but not really.
Not really. Oh, jeez, right? But not really. Yeah. And I, man, honestly, I'm thinking that I haven't looked it up yet, but I'm thinking the Greco score is going to be even worse because they bring the Heat and Greco too. All right, Cadet Greco, let's check it out.
But Storm could be close.
No, 89-48. So Minnesota is number two in Greco.
Jeez.
They had seven finalists in freaking Cadet Greco.
That's almost you could consider that a paradigm shift almost, Ben.
To what? In fact, they're so good.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess, and this might just be me just being not as into the game as I should be at the youth level, but I mean, you could argue that Illinois is the best state, right? Overall, on anything.
I think you could make a strong argument. They win the freaking duels and they win the Fargo every single year. Oh my God, dog! You want to hear this? Oh my God, you want to hear this? Junior score, Wisconsin number two at 42 points. Illinois 106.
Okay,
what so the Ben, F?
When is this going to translate to NCAA success for the state?
Well, not, yeah, you know, I mean, the one thing, the obvious, the knock on Mark Perry, right? The knock on Mark Perry is that he didn't keep the Illinois kids home, because if all you do is keep the Illinois kids home, you're going to have a really, really good team.
Here's the thing, though, Ben. What? Is that Chicago, greater Chicago probably makes up, what, 80% of what makes Illinois wrestling good?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Washington, I believe, is not in greater Chicago. They're really good. And then there's a couple teams down by, like, the St. Louis area that are really tough. So, but yes, correct. A lot of it would be Chicago. Right. I don't know what percent.
My point is this. That makes it easy for these guys to hop on a cheap flight and go to school almost anywhere.
Yeah, but there's also a certain pride in wrestling for your home state.
But
right?
Here's the thing, Ben. Do you think people in Illinois take pride in
that is the University of Illinois' job, right? Because you're the state university, and if you can inspire that within your program, I mean, if you just look at the historically good programs, right? Illinois, Iowa and Oklahoma. Kids don't leave Iowa and Oklahoma, right? Minnesota. A lot of kids don't leave Minnesota. Right now, Penn State, are kids leaving Penn State or Pennsylvania? Not really. Yeah, were they previously?
Ben,
yeah.
You're not letting me get a word in today.
Well, I was fired up.
All right. Well, I'm fired up too. And here's the thing. Iowa, culturally, wrestling or not, the University of Iowa is embedded in the state. Oklahoma, culturally, wrestling or not, that university is a part of the state tradition. Ohio State, same thing. Penn State, same thing. The Fighting Illini, not the same thing.
Why? So, but that doesn't mean they can't.
I know that. I'm just saying.
That's essentially what Tom Ryan's doing in Ohio, right? Most of the best kids are not leaving anymore where they probably were 15 years ago.
Right. The ones they want aren't leaving. I mean, they can't get them all. Yeah. I'm with you on that. And
So Mike Poeta's job, if Mike Poeta can do a great job of keeping Illinois kids home, they're going to be really good.
And I think Poeta has the gift for gab. I think he's well-respected in the state. And I think he kind of knows – he knows how to speak to these kids too. Like, he's a Chicago guy.
Yep.
He's – you know, he's got Chicago, Illinois oozing out of his pores when you speak to him. And I think that that's going to benefit him recruiting the state, don't you think?
Yeah, I would hope so. I mean, I would think it would. Definitely.
I'm excited. I'm excited for Mike.
Yeah. I mean, the talent's there. And so, yeah, I think, you know, I think Pennsylvania and Ohio are still seen as kind of 1-2. But, you know, if you wanted to, you could make a distinct argument for Illinois being the best state in the union. And it would be very interesting to see, you know, if at, say, a junior duels, if Ohio and PA really brought their legit number one teams, it would be very interesting to see those matches.
And I'm pumped up for Poeta. The more I think about it, it's like, what an opportunity. The state continues to ascend. I mean, that's a great opportunity. I'm hoping it can be fun.
Definitely. Okay, so let's go down to the cadets. I know you wanted to talk about Braxton Amos. You just want to shoot on him first or what?
Yeah, you know, I really don't need to say much other than, you know, to see a kid wrestle like that at that weight class, at that age group, the diversity in his skill sets, he can throw, he can shoot, he can hold position, He has a wrestling IQ. He's not quite as explosive and powerful and like freakish as Stevenson, but yeah. He's about 2 years behind, if I'm not mistaken. So
yeah, you're right.
So this kid to me is the real deal, Holyfield. That's really all I got.
That's it. Damn. Hey, what do you think about Mini Brock Lesnar?
Who's that?
Oh, the heavyweight. You didn't see his heavyweight blasting freaking double legs.
Mini Brock Lesnar.
Oh, what's my God. Name? Let me find his name.
Is this
Hudson Macker or something like that?
Macker. All right.
You see a picture? Google a picture of this dude.
I'm putting him on the match right here. Oh yeah, that's a big.
It might be Brock Lesnar's offspring, legitimately.
He is. He's got to, you know, keep lifting weights, but yeah, he looks like Brock.
And watch these doubles he hits. This is a powerful son of a gun.
Okay. Do you think you could?
Do you think he could double like me? No, I think I could stay out of the way. For a couple more years. I mean, once he gets like college smart, then maybe not. But I've been known to wrestle a heavyweight or two in my day. I used to wrestle Mark Ellis and Don Bradley on a semi-frequent basis. Get in there and hand fight a little bit with them. You know, the key with the heavyweights, you just got to stay off.
Here we go.
You got to stay off the tracks, dog, because you know you can't generate as much power as they can.
You do got to stay off them tracks.
You got to watch out. They're coming. You're going down, so you can't let them get to you.
I know. I think that's why it's hard when I'm as out of shape as I am. It's hard for me to wrestle like a guy like you. You know how you beat me down in my wrestling room a year ago when you came to visit me?
Sure.
It's because the only way for me to beat you now is to just put you on the tracks. And I can't do that. So I gotta try to do the tactical thing, and I'm not in good enough shape to play that game.
Yeah, definitely.
You're being too classy. I thought you were going to run your mouth.
No, man. I don't talk about practice room stuff. Ever. This kid, I Google image searched him. This kid is freaking Brock Lesnar's child. Seriously, go look at Tommy. Just press Google Images. What is it? Nash Huttmacher. Oh my God, this is hilarious. Wow. Okay. So next topic. You know, one of the matches, and this goes to my, and I didn't see this match as it happened. I had my eye on it, but there's this kid, Patrick Kennedy, from Minnesota, and he won state as a freshman at 170 pounds, which is obviously very difficult to do. But he lost to the kid Albert Ferrari from Texas. It was a 5-4. It was a tight match.
Great match. It was a great match. I liked them both.
I liked them both also. But what the point I was going to make is that the fact that they had to put one of these guys on the clock in the beginning of the match, that was the determiner, right?
Well, because that's what we talked about last episode.
And I honestly thought Kennedy was being more aggressive. I really genuinely thought that. And that
was the decider. That was the decider.
Because then after that point, so that one point makes it 5-4, but after that point it was take down Ferrari, take down Kennedy, take down Ferrari, take down Kennedy. So if that initial passivity point does not exist, Kennedy wins the match on criteria.
Right.
So that, you know, that determined the match. But yeah, both those kids, for being as young as they are, I think they're gonna be hard to deal with in a couple of years.
Is Kennedy a pinnacle kid?
I actually don't think he might be, but I don't think he is. Let me Google where he's from. I hate giving false information. Pinnacle's good enough, so they don't need extra credit because they're so good anyways.
It's funny that you just said I hate giving false information.
I don't do fake news, brother. Hey, so I bought these two bumper stickers last week, and they came while I was gone, and my wife lost them, and I'm super annoyed because as anyone who's seen my Prius knows, he's a Minnesota elite kid is what it says on his track profile.
So he's not pinnacle. So
apparently not.
You know, it reminds, speaking of your Prius, I heard that you were barefoot. You're a barefoot type of guy in the summertime.
Oh, 100% all summer long, dog.
And what's the reasoning?
I just don't like wearing shoes. That's it. They're a nuisance. I don't need freaking shoes. That's something else to worry about.
You got to elaborate on it.
That's it, Tommy. I don't like wearing shoes. Like, I just don't, you know, it's like something extra to think about. Like, I got a lot of things going on in my head. I don't need to worry about shoes.
I love it.
Yeah, I've only been kicked out. I mean, I've literally went barefoot probably for the greater part of the last 10 summers, and I've only ever been kicked out of one place. Usually, I would say it's just a gas station. That's it. And I don't know, she must have been eyeing me up at the parking lot because I didn't even get in the door. And she's like, nope, get out of here. And usually I can reason with them. I would say only about 5% of the time does someone even say anything about it, right? And then all of those 5% of the times, every single time except this one, I'm like, are you really not going to take my money because I'm not wearing shoes? And they're all like, yeah, I'll take your money, whatever. Just don't do it again. And then I'll be like, okay, and then I'll do it again, you know? lots of times I'll have sandals in my car or something, but yeah, I prefer to go totally barefoot. I got these bumper stickers. I can't find the picture. One of them says CNN sucks, and one of them says mainstream media is fake news.
I like it.
And but my wife lost them. I'm going to have to yell at her some more so I can get my bumper stickers.
I'm sure that's going to work out for you.
Well, they got to be somewhere, right? She got them last week. They are, in fact, somewhere in this house or somewhere in the close vicinity of this house.
She might have just took him to the trash and kind of pretend that
she also hates fake news.
Okay, got it.
Not as much as me. I'm a little more passionate about the topic, but did you see that? Oh my gosh, what's it called? Veritas Project, Tommy?
No.
Well, we got. I guess I'm not gonna get too much into politics with our listeners, but most of you guys know how I feel. So there's this Veritas Project. What is that guy's name?
But it is funny, Ben. Everyone knows how you feel, they listen, but it's like you drive a Prius, you walk around your bare feet in the summertime, like on paper, on paper you would be a liberal.
Well, you know what, honestly, I am socially fairly liberal, right?
I would agree,
but I'm
libertarian.
But more libertarian, but fiscally conservative. And I would side more with conservative thought processes than I would liberal, except for socially, right? Like, I'm not gay, and I don't want to be married to another man, but, like, I don't really care too much if someone else does, and I don't really care if someone wants to smoke weed. I don't do it, but whatever, right?
Right, right.
So,
right.
So I would side more with the libertarian. Okay, so this guy's name is James O'Keefe, while we're on fake news. We're on ADD today, but it's all good.
We just botched this episode.
It's good.
Or it's a great one. I'm not sure which.
One of the two. So there's this guy, James O'Keefe, and he does these hidden videos of people, you know?
Uh-huh.
And obviously it doesn't catch on mainstream media because that's mainly who's he's exposing. But he pretty much got it's a pretty high-up executive in CNN to admit that they totally fabricated the Russia story. And he pretty much says, oh, yeah, there's nothing there, but it draws great ratings. And he's like, wow. Yeah, that's our strategy. We'll go Russia, then we'll throw it off for one day to something else, and then back to Russia because it's great ratings. Total fake news. But, again, you gotta know where to watch these videos because it's not like the mainstream media is going to come out and say, yeah, we're totally lying to you guys. Yeah.
I love it, man.
This is a CNN producer. He doubled down. He said, the American public is stupid as shit and will listen to anything they say. He literally has the guy. He literally has him on camera saying that. It's so awesome. Okay, back to Fargo. I do love talking about fake news, though.
We should have a fake news episode.
That I do. I love your idea about the other idea episode. That maybe we'll just do it next week. Because Tommy, you promised our listeners Kyle Snyder, and we're never going to get Kyle Snyder.
Oh, we can get him whenever we want.
Wow, he's not a big deal or anything. All right, so how about this Zeke Escalera guy? I put two of his matches on there. He was a national champion from Kentucky, and honestly, I think. This story can tie into our next episode that we're talking about youth athletics. Number one, he's freaking fantastic. He kind of reminds me of a young David Taylor to a certain extent.
He did. He was very raw in a very impressive way.
Very impressive, yeah.
I mean, the only difference, yeah, and I would say that I do follow the similarities to David Taylor. The only difference is that I think his reactions were a little bit more instinctive than David Taylor's, less rehearsed. But David Taylor was a little bit more of a cleaner wrestler that stayed on the track, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, this kid, I mean, he's a Kentucky kid, brought the heat, battled, had some close matches, didn't stop wrestling. I like his reactions. He leads with his left and right, shoots through his left and right side. He's just got that ambidextrous.
Yep, and kind he's of like got multiple six attacks because he's got his drags, he's got his ducks, he's got his knee pulls. So, you know, he can attack from a variety of different positions, which makes it really dangerous.
I think it takes a heck of an athlete to scramble and freestyle because
what was the word we were talking about last episode? Proprioception.
Yes, proprioception.
I think Willie was calling it proprioception or proprioception. Damn it, what the hell was Willie saying?
Second episode in a row, you keep forgetting what Willie said.
Okay. Hey, so here's the point that would be really interesting to talk about on our next episode is that Zeke Escalera has been recruited. Yes, he's an eighth grader. He's an eighth grade state champ. He's been recruited to wrestle at Wyoming Seminary.
Is he going to do it?
Yeah. Yep. Going to Wyoming Sem.
He's an eighth grader, huh?
Yeah, he once stayed as an eighth grader.
So I wonder who he trains with. Like, who's his coach?
So Union County, I did camps at Union County High School from 2003 to 2008, I believe. They have multiple time state champions. And then I got my buddy Marcus Hain the job there for a while. He's a Missouri guy, the guy we're talking about, the funky guy. Got him the job there for a few years. But it's kind of way far out there in the middle of nowhere, you know? So then Marcus wanted to move back to St. Louis with his wife. So they did. But there's three brothers, the Irvin brothers, and they all wrestled there. And then they all wrestled collegiately at SIUE, Southern Illinois Edwardsville. And then they all moved back there, and they kind of run the program. And now a few of their sons have wrestled collegiately. Brock was at Illinois. Caleb was at Illinois for a little bit. So,
where Escalera came out of.
And that's where Escalera's from. Yeah, just a good, really good wrestling family.
Awesome. Union County's a Rudis customer, too, by the way.
They are. Well, probably. Yeah. I guess probably through Marcus, because Marcus has good connections there.
Jeff Jordan's tight with them, too.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, they're great, great community, great people. I did a lot of my – I popped my cherry in a lot of areas down there in Union County. I shot frogs. I believe I rode some horses.
Frisbee golf?
No, I taught them how to frisbee golf. What else did I do? We did all kinds of stupid stuff down there. I mean, they get into some redneck kind of stuff down in Union County.
I love it.
Yeah. But Escalera's headed out to Wyoming Sem. How do you feel about that? An eighth grader getting called up and he's going to Wyoming Sem.
I have mixed feelings. I think it's a good opportunity for the kid, but he won the Cadet Nationals out of the state of Kentucky as an eighth grader. I would say that a lot of credit to the environment that he's in now.
Yeah, definitely.
So why would you leave it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the situation. Maybe he thinks he's going to outgrow his practice partners or needs a tougher schedule. But they wrestle a really tough schedule, so, yeah.
That's a little goofy to him, but it's cool that a Kentucky kid won the cadets before he even got into high school. It's impressive.
Yeah, he's a beast. Actually, when Marcus Hain opened up Thoroughbred Wrestling Academy in St. Louis, the very first week was the same week the NCAAs were there, the year that Ohio State won, and I did a camp. And actually, Zeke Escalera and Zach Elam, who also won an astronaut, were both at that camp. It was a cradle camp.
That's cool.
Yeah, funny. We're at 53 minutes, Tommy. Is there anything else you want to talk about? We were kind of all over the place today.
I think it was a good episode. We didn't hit on as much wrestling as we wanted, but yeah, I'm good. We can shut it down.
Sure, any episode where we get to talk about fake news is a good episode in my mind.
As long as we're not fake news.
We will never be fake news. Matter of fact, I'm changing you from fake news to very fake news. All right, Tommy. So until next week. Next week, let's prepare our talking points and let's talk about what do we want to call it? Youth wrestling? Do we want to talk about what it takes to be great? Do we want to talk about what it takes for the general population? What do we want to talk about?
I think youth wrestling and the best path to success for a wrestler.
Okay. All right. That sounds great to me. I hope all you guys enjoyed this show, episode number 79. Make sure to check out Defense Dope and Dahlmer Mats. Tommy, see you later, buddy.
Later, brother.
You are listening to the T. Rowan Fungi Show, and it is brought to you by Defense Soap. Defend what you've built. Tommy, I got to say, I tried these products. He shipped me a box. I love them. I've had, if you know me, you know I've had ringworm issues for a long time. So I'm looking forward to putting these in my repertoire and hoping the ringworm does not come back ever.
No doubt, Ben. And to top that off, the company was created by wrestlers. Guy Seiko wrestled at Cleveland State University. His son was an All-American at Virginia, so these people really get it. They know what the wrestling community needs.